It's almost time. Daryl's here, so he'll have his praise.
Let's see, where do I start? You want to hear mine, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Things are going well at the shop. I hired a new guy. Let one of them go. And we're busy.
Great.
Busy. Was a little shy of the money I need for down payment on my building. The Lord made a way for that, of course, He always does.
Amen.
So we have our down payment.
I hear you praise right there.
For some weird reason, the Lord woke me up last night, about 10, 11 o'clock. Had me sit and write down my testimony. And put some basic Bible truths in there and stuff. Or, I don't know. Brought him with me in case. I don't know what he's up to. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and we got visitors coming today. Chad and Victoria.
Yes.
But they'd be here by now. But they're supposed to come hang out with me all day.
Wow, that's
awesome. And get to see my granddaughter all day.
All right.
So there's a praise and a half.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you.
There are people in the Bible who talked all the time. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Actually, the one that I found that I stumbled across that said he's talking all the time was actually probably a good thing. Anyway, we'll look at it. No, it wasn't Peter. No, who else has a praise? Jerry does.
Like my daughter and son-in-law are going to get baptized today, and they're bringing quite a few people with them.
Amen.
Amen.
We got quite a few classes going on. We've got one fella that knows for sure he's lost, and he don't want to stay that way, so he is. We got started with his classes this last week, and it went very well.
That's that older gentleman.
Well, compared to most people in here, a lot of people are older. You and me are older.
I was just wondering what his definition of older was.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll meet him. You'll meet him. Who else? Praises. Harley.
It's going to take a little while, so I hope you'll be just bear with me.
I'm bearing away.
Monday evening, the worst thing that could possibly happen, I guess, did. I came over to the house and noticed some water leaking out of my garage. Turns out my water heater decided to blow out its bottom. Literally just... Thankfully, I'm going to praise God for that in one way, because everything over there is just a bunch of old rotting wood I was going to get rid of anyway.
So your water heater is in the garage?
Yes, it is in the garage.
That's a praise.
That's a praise.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. So there was no major damage. There was no damage to the walls, just the thingy, and he didn't stop. Thursday, I let my boss know I wouldn't be available for Saturday, and it just turns out that somebody in my dispatch office who is not a believer, doesn't believe in God at all, Sunday before had just replaced his electrical water heater, which is almost the same brand I use, with a heat pump one. And that one had only been installed for 6 months. He was just tired of it and decided to get himself a new one with his heat pump. So it's virtually new. I asked him what he wanted for it. He said, it's yours if you can take it off the property. So I got a $700 water heater for an eighth of a tank of gas.
Yep.
And Jerry here had time to help me install it. And even though the new hoses didn't fit, we were able to put the old ones back on. First time, correct, without a leak. You know, so... God was in every aspect of it.
God's in plumbing now.
God is in plumbing.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he's everywhere. I just got tickled that he was using an atheist.
I'm pretty sure he helped out with my new plumbing that I got. But.
He was definitely involved in the whole thing.
So yeah.
He might be working in that man's life, but I don't know it yet.
Yeah. Joshua, what's your praise?
The kids have their Christmas play coming up in school. This is the first time we've done it with the school. And so I went in and talked to the lady up there that does it just to see what exactly it was going to entail, you know, whether we were going to take our kids out of it or leave them in. And so I just asked her, didn't beat around the bush. I said, y'all got Santa in here or what's the deal? And she proceeded to explain to me exactly how the cookie crumbled, and it was pretty scriptural. And I had a grin from this year to this year. It was such a big blessing to sit and listen to her talk.
Well, amen.
So Robinson, a good school. There's another one. I don't remember what it was, so I'll have to come back to it, I guess.
Okay. Lisa?
I got to spend last weekend with my sister, a little time with my daughter, and a little time with my niece. And it was just really refreshing. Sit around in our pajamas and play cards.
I survived batching for a couple of days.
That's really nice.
Amanda?
This has been like a slower month for me. And then like last minute, God brought me a job in the morning. Mm-hmm. And my car insurance is $75. And the girl paid me $75 to be her assistant. And then I worked a wedding last night. And I got my first tip after a year and a half of doing them. And that tip is going to pay Dennis health insurance. Right. And me and Mike were like, I was like, thank you, God, when I opened the envelope. I've never had that. And instantly, Mike is like, yeah, God brings it at just the right time. And it's crazy.
He's never heard anything.
And I think really, he does really that never. To, like, earn right. your trust.
Yeah. Cool.
It's amazing what you get trusting with it when you never realize it before.
Where do you get a check in the mail from somewhere?
I did last year. That was last week at the
beginning. Right after I got saved, four $20 bills flew across my front yard, and nobody was outside anywhere. And it was
so
wrong. I didn't have money.
Who else?
And who's wrong with this one?
Oh, it's not yours.
Yes.
So, watching Lane grow right now, he's starting to get more into the Bible stuff, and he's remembering more things, and he's turning into this little gentleman. Like, everybody else is his first concern, and he's putting himself last. He's opening my doors. When we go somewhere, he goes with me to the store. He pushes the basket. He gets the things. He makes sure that Kaylin has what she needs, and it's like just watching him take on that position, and he's only five. I'm like,
watching his daddy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Josh said he would open my door, so I'm like,
I want to be lame
when
I grow up.
You are.
That is
it's
so
just,
nice.
Yeah, it's just awesome. When you watch your kids grow with God and you're like, I'm a part of that because I'm helping them with that, but it's like, that's just awesome. Most kids don't do that.
No, they don't.
That's pretty cool. Go ahead, Josh.
So we got the general contracting business that we're starting up, and I just want to praise the Lord because we've had some jobs come in, you know about them. But the way they come in, they were pretty big jobs, and the people, when I talked to them, were like, hey, we've been looking for someone to do this, and we can't find anyone, no one answers the phone. Like, God's just steadily working it, waiting until I was ready, and then they're like, yeah. And so that's happened. It won't happen, and all of a sudden, when it's time, I need it, and I'm ready for it.
Of course.
Boom, boom, boom. It'll happen. And so I just want to praise the Lord for just always, always doing that.
He didn't always do that.
I guess he didn't.
But he does now.
He does now. That's right.
That'll tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Vicki.
I just want to praise the Lord for, I could see him working in my son's life, and the way that he's doing it. As if he were to do it overtly, my son would just absolutely reject him and turn the other way. But he's maturing him every day. And he was told he has to go. He's going back to the halfway house, and not the one in Houston, but the one in Corpus Christi, even though his job has told him that they'll let him keep his job and he'll work with the work program after 30 days and let him. He's got to go for 60 days. And in talking with Bubba, and talking with me also, he's admitted, he says, you know, she's just doing her job. He's not angry. He's not cursing about it. He goes, you know, she's just doing her job. And if I hadn't made the choices that I had made that put me in prison in the first place, I wouldn't have to be dealing with this now. So to see that level of maturity come from my son, who changed his name to Tommy Lee, and was all rock and roll and a rock star in prison and a nobody outside of prison and actually wanted to go back to prison and be the rock star. Is finally, God's finally working that, you know, and I see him, but I see him doing it in a way that my son will accept it because he knows his heart. He knows what kind of person he is and what will work for him. And it's just amazing to watch that happen in the son that has, since he was 13, been just so defiant, finally starting to realize that, you know, and it's just, I praise God for that.
Amen. Good. Cool. All right. Who else?
I got one.
Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I was in Psalms the other day. You know, I love to wear that shirt that said, if you should die tonight, where would you spend eternity, hell or heaven? And I wear them shirt all the time.
You have that on under that other one now?
No.
Okay, just asking. I don't want you to.
No. Anyway, I like to wear it to Walmart especially. Anyway, this lady was sitting there. She was, you know, I was looking. She said, lady, she's like, lady, oh, I love that shirt. I said, no, I have a question for you. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? She's like, well, I don't know. Well. So we start, you know, having a conversation, so talking to her. And talk to her about the Lord. And she would, you know, listen to me, and I encourage her to find a church and all that. But it was interesting, you know, just always happen that people receive and they want to start talking. So I told the Lord, I'm always going to wear it. Say, Lord, you do the rest.
That's good.
Yeah. It really worked. Somebody told another lady this. She said, you know, there's a lady some years ago, which is a long time I've been doing, was at Walmart, and we saw that she had this shirt that said, if you should die tonight, where would you spend eternity? I saw her, and I was watching her. She'll tell somebody else, and this person was telling me what, you know, what the person said about the shirt. This has been going on for a long time. And the Lord gave me that, you know, tell me to wear it front and back. And if there is a reason, he knows what he's doing. God always knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he used that shirt, touch the heart of people. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there are a lot of people who will take more of an interest than we think. Because whether you realize it or not, I remember what it was like to be lost. And there are a lot of things that put my mind on eternity ever so often. It would just keep coming up. Don't you remember it? Have you been saved so long you can't remember what that was like? I remember. All right. Anybody else? Okay. We're in Proverbs 29. We're going to go back and look at verse 11 today. It's what we were talking about last week, and I told you that we would finish our discussion this week. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And I said, we're going to talk about the value of learning to keep your mouth shut. There are hundreds of scriptures, literally, about your tongue, about opening your mouth when you shouldn't. And I mean, it's just everywhere in scripture. I mean, just look up the word tongue and see how many scriptures come up and what they're about. And just that one word. There are times to keep your mouth shut. You ever heard the term spill your guts?
Yeah.
Just thinking that.
What's that mean?
Talk to it.
Let everything come out.
Yeah, let everything come out. Well, that's almost always a bad idea. Almost always a bad idea. I said there was one guy in the Bible that talked all the time, and that was David, actually. At least is what it says here in Psalm 71. Let me read this to you. It says here, verse 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. David had a lot of tough times in his life. He had a lot of tragedy, yet he was still one to sing and praise the Lord. He said, O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. That's what it says. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek thy hurt. David said, my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Grandma said, if you can't say something good, and I actually, there are a number of scriptures that echo that sentiment. It's definitely from the Bible. But why say something evil when you have so much good that you can say? You can talk about the Lord's righteousness, and you're never going to run out of subject matter when you talk about His righteousness. Especially when you get to talk about the fact that He's willing to give you His own perfect righteousness as a free gift. Now, that's just getting downright cool when you start thinking about that. So we're going to go back to Psalm 29 here in verse 11. Also Psalm 29:20 says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words?" Responds too quickly. Somebody says something to you and you want to respond. There have been people that have told us in the past that you need to count to 3 or 10 or whatever before you respond. You need to stop and think about it. In other words, do not be hasty in your response, because a man that's hasty in his words, well, God said it, there's more hope of a fool than for him. So that's not going to be good. I want you to go over here to James chapter 3. And I want to read about a dozen verses here in James 3. James says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Putting a bridle on your words, controlling what you say. James says, if any man is able to do that, the same is a perfect or a complete man. He said, and he uses an illustration to describe that. He says, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter the fire kindleth. All right, tell me what this illustration means here when he's using bits in the horse's mouth, and he's using a helm on a ship to illustrate something. What's he illustrating? What's he trying to show us? Is he teaching us about horses and ships?
No.
So what's he talking about, Vicki?
He's talking about how a very small thing can have very great results. That the tongue is the smallest member of the body, but it can be used for great harm or great good. The same way that the governor of a ship can be used to turn a great giant ship, even though it can be driven about by the wind and the rain and everything else, that a little, very small item can make it turn.
Okay, yeah. Very small amount of force in the right place can do wonders. And the tongue is a little member, that's what he says, and boasteth great things. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And he uses another illustration. He says the tongue's like a little fire. You know, a little fire, all big fires pretty much start with little fires, don't they? You ever hear anybody say, well, what have you been doing today? I was just putting out fires. You ever spend your day putting out fires? Yeah.
Most days.
Yeah. And he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. There was an event that I heard take place on the ball field last week. Someone dropped the ball and proceeded to curse God because he dropped the ball. And I told my team, I said, I really can't imagine cursing God going to help you hold on to the ball any better. Anyway, it seemed like the right thing to say at the time. But that's just what he says. You know, that, you know, later we gather around to pray. And here we, well, what we have is what he says in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What's the answer?
No.
No, it doesn't. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Then he goes on to talk about wisdom. And one of the prevailing themes through the scripture about the tongue is using wisdom to control it. If you can get a handle on controlling your tongue, well, let's talk about that. We said we're going to talk about the value of learning to keep your mouth shut or controlling the tongue. What would change in your life if you could truly control your tongue? Josh?
You can learn a whole lot real fast.
You could learn a lot. Maybe twice as much. Got two ears, one mouth. That's got to tell you something, right? Even nature doth not nature itself teach you. It's yeah. That was about the hair thing, but it's, the tongue is definitely nature. Okay. Learning to control your tongue. How would it affect your life?
You wouldn't have division with people close to you.
It would stop the division with people close to you. It would certainly change it, wouldn't it? A hasty answer, a man that is, it's generic by the way, ladies, person hasty in their words, that doesn't work too well, does it? If you were to wait, even a short time, instead of responding immediately to what someone says, how much would it change, or would it? Would it change what you have to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh?
I deal with it every day. I don't pause when I'm talking to her, and it causes fights sometimes. When
no.
I'm talking to my kids, I'll pause, and I'll usually say the right thing. So I get to watch it on both sides, work and not work. Why I keep doing it, I don't know, but...
you're human, and you're not used to not doing that.
Kind of
like.
But you do. getting to watch it work on both ends. Not
it's
positive.
Good that you can admit that.
Well, you're aware, so you will be checked.
Sometimes, not very often, if you give it a minute or two or a count of whatever, just some time, almost always what you would have said will change. Almost always. I mean, maybe, might be, but that's pretty rare, isn't it? And obviously, how many times have you finished a conversation with somebody and you're going on down the road and it's over and you're thinking about what was done and said and wished you had said this, 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 and this, and this, but you didn't? That ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always.
Always.
Always, pretty much.
Always, yeah. Of all the things that displeases God. Now, does He just have an attitude, and our job is just to please Him, or is there some kind of a motive behind what does and doesn't please God? What's the motive?
He wants what's best for us.
He wants what's best for us. You really believe that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. He knows what's best for us.
He knows what's best for us.
He's gone now. True so far.
He knows what it takes. And that's a little hard to understand sometimes.
It displeases him because he knows it's going to hurt us.
Well.
And he doesn't like to see us hurt. It hurts him to hurt us.
Yeah, it does. But he is willing to see you hurt to keep you from being hurt worse later.
That's apparent.
Yeah, God does that. But I wanted you to see, and I'm going to take you back over to Proverbs 6 again. Proverbs 6 is where the Bible tells us what God absolutely hates. You know, God is love, and so you don't really think of God possessing hatred, but He does. There are things that God hates. And beginning in verse 16, it says, "These six things doeth the Lord hate." Proverbs 6, verse 16. One of them is a proud look. I don't think there's a person in here, but what can recognize a proud look if you see one? Hopefully, you're not very good at expressing one, but God hates a proud look. He also has the second thing on the list, number two. What is it?
A lying tongue.
Anybody in here has never lied? Yeah. Well, there is one in here who's never lied.
Yeah.
The one that's not born. Yeah. It's the one sitting with Amanda over there right now.
The only person that's never lied.
Yeah, there is one. Of course, it won't last long. Matter of fact, a baby starts lying before they can talk.
Yeah.
They do. They do. It's in us. It's born there. Hands that shed innocent blood. There's a lot of that going on. It's going on in Ukraine. It's going on in medical clinics. It's going on in politics, where decisions are made to refuse to protect the unborn. There is no more innocent blood than a baby. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. the next one, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Is there much of that going on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere. Folks, there is an incredible amount of evil outside these doors. Way more than most people realize. It's everywhere. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Mm-hmm. Mischief is evil. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I just want to remind you that three of the things that God hates is involved primarily with the tongue. Three out of seven. But then you get down to verse 24, there's another one about the tongue. This is Jerry's favorite. That keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Yes. Any of you know how that works? Oh, batting those eyes. Go ahead, Harley. Get yourself in trouble. See how deep you can dig this hole.
Well, this one, just something I didn't know, this is for this. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Almost all of it is explained that out even further in Proverbs chapter 18. Almost the entire chapter. And I know we've gone over several of these things, but the first one is probably pretty straight up. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
This is which proverb?
Proverbs 18.
18.
Almost the entire chapter is about wisdom, about virtually 29:11 in a nutshell. 29:11 is the nutshell for this chapter.
It's everywhere. 21, getting at verse 6, getting treasures by a lying tongue.
Fool's mouth is his destruction. Verse 7. The words of a talebearer. Verse 8 are his wounds, and they go down to the inner parts of the belly. Let's see.
That verse 13 of answering before you hear it all.
13, 15, and 17 are just really great for that. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, he is following the shame of it. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. All these ideas about, taking a few seconds to take a deep breath, count to three or ten or whatever, hear both sides of the story before blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I've been reminded about that one a couple of times.
And then here's verse 19, the end result.
I said I've been reminded about that one a couple of times, hearing the whole thing before you answer. I won't tell you who reminded me, but their initials are at least a deal. But.
That was
kind of
obvious.
It's God's word. Just saying.
Just saying. I mean, I've heard that before, too.
Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Just listen.
The tongue. Incredible. Proverbs 31 is where we're going here in however long it takes us to get there. And verse number 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This is that thing that your grandma probably tried to teach you. The law of kindness. If you can't say something good or kind, then don't say anything at all. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I know some people like that. That every time they open their mouth, kindness flows from them. We could definitely all take a lesson from that. kind of hard to respond to everything that comes up in life with kindness. But to this woman, it's a law. The law of kindness. How would you describe the law of kindness?
Difficult.
Difficult.
We're not talking about shopping at H-E-B.
What'd you say, Jerry?
Is it edify or shut up? Is that it?
Well, yeah, kind of. If something is a law, how are we supposed to feel about the law?
Obey it.
Supposed to obey it. Don't break it. Keep it. The virtuous woman says she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It takes a good bit of wisdom to keep the law of kindness. It does. It is so easy. When you hear something said to you or something done to someone or about someone or whatever, where does your mind generally go? Is it going to the good in it or what's wrong with it? Which way do we go naturally? Yeah, normally. Yeah, we do. What it takes to change that is a lot of wisdom. And you're not going to get it all right all the time. Matter of fact, you may not get it right most of the time. But the more you get it right, the better your world is going to be. I know some people, I won't get into names or whatever, although this would be a good place to mention names. But I know some people that are basically, generally, they're just kind. When they're around a kid, they're kind. When they're around other adults, kindness, it's like a law. And, one thing I can tell you about those people is that they're nice to be around. It's nice to have people in your life who are kind. Kindness is way underrated, I think. It's way undervalued. Kindness is priceless. It's an absolute wonderful. If you got people in your life who are, there's no perfect people, but who are generally kind, they're definitely going to enhance the joy and the value of your life. Yep. Kind people do that. It ought to make us all want to be one. I'd like to be one. I obviously need some more work on it, but I definitely like to be one.